So they read in the book, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Nehemiah, which is a Tershatha, that's the governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, same person, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Just for a few moments, saints, we'd like to ask you to think about this. Joy for the journey. Joy for the journey. All of us in here who are saved know that being a child of God does not exempt us from difficulty, tragedy, disappointment, and discouragement. That being said, however, this seems sometimes for us to miss the fact that despite all that, and I know sometimes life can be, if you're not careful, and if we don't put the scales in their proper way, that we think that those things that we name seem to outweigh the other things. And the other things meaning what essentially is what is our contentment and what keeps us on this journey we have as believers. Are you with me here? In life in general has its problems. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it, there's no temptation taking us, it's common to man. But God with the temptation will make a way of escape, so you will, amen, be able to endure it. In essence, he's saying, listen, because you're saved does not mean because you're in this life. Sometimes a saint, just because it's life itself, amen. However, we do know we have a God, however, who's always aware of what we're going through. And let me say this too, that when we come to the house of God is a refuge. I believe the Lord Jesus also said, call my house a house of prayer. But also this, that the house of God, and when you use that expression, I mean that literally, because I do know and you do know that this is a physical structure, and that's not enough to say that you worship. Because you got in the door does not mean you're in the house. What I mean is you can physically come in, but see, God is the one who has compelled us to come together. You said a little while ago that there is something here that was sometimes missed in the individualistic age that we live in terms of society, and how in a contemporary way it has seeped into not only the church, but into the mindset of the believer. Whereby, again, we take on this thing where, you know, we have our own personal time, but you need, again, to be around others who are of like precious faith. And I do believe, and I know it to be so, that God has something particular for us in a corporate way as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. You get your blessings, again, in an individual way. If you can't make it out, that is sometimes that happens. Sometimes we need to go aside. But again, we need to be together to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. And so as I look at the journey here in terms of Nehemiah and what had happened, and what, if you were with us, how and all that they had been through, we get to the place in time where, again, the wall that they were building had been put together, and pretty much everything was done. In 52 days, they had everything come together. Again, it's a reminder to us that God is able, and amen. But again, this it still involved a lot of different things. It involved opposition. It involved discouragement, both from without and from within. Amen. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Yes, sir. Amen. When the world's not talking about you, we're not talking to each other. And so are we going through all that? And yet here we are And the wall is built, and Nehemiah, again, the Bible says that when they got the people together outside and called the water gate, that means right outside a place where they entered in to bring things for the temple. It was an open space, and that was a proper and appropriate place for the people of God to gather for a specific reason. One was involving liturgy. That means liturgy speaks of your worship, the type of worship you do, your expression of worship. And that meant that there was a time during each year, the seventh day of the month, when God's people in the Old Testament would gather for a feast day. At the beginning of the month, and this one was, again, the Feast of Trumpets. And this day was already set aside in the Jewish calendar. But when these people had went into captivity and when they came back, certain things got left off. Amen. When you're away, amen, sometimes you lose the sense of the things that brought you to where you were. And because they were in a foreign land, a strange land, they did not have the capacity to come together. They had certain things that they did. They tried to do as best they could. But again, when they went in captivity again, then when they came back and were given the opportunity to come back to their homeland, they did not, again, foster the attitude in which they would take again the opportunity. They had, you know, they had a place to stay, but they were people who were ridiculed and mocked, and I believe that took something out of them. I believe they had worship. They had times when they kind of got together, but it was probably haphazard, and something was missing because things were not as they used to be. The temple had been built, but even that, when you read the scripture, the temple, it was not like the temple of Solomon. Solomon built that temple. It was one of the wonders of the world. Yes, people from all over the world. The Queen of Sheba came. She was a real person. She came to see this thing and this wise man named Solomon. But when God had them got done, because no matter how beautiful the building was, if you don't worship the God of the building, then he says, you have no need for me, so you don't have no need for that. He had the heathen come in and tear it down. And God let them go back to their homeland. When they rebuilt the temple of Zerubbabel, and maybe we won't not get a chance to get there, but when they rebuilt it, it wasn't the same. And amen, the dimensions weren't the same. And you see, there's a place there, if you get a chance, read it, where there was a lot of crying and weeping at that time. It should be a time of dedication, but because the new folks, amen, the young folks, the young adults and those a little above them, they saw it as it just been built. And so they were glad. But then the old heads, those who were there before and had remembered the former day, they were crying for a different reason. Because they had in their mind, they remembered what it used to be like. They remembered the time. They remembered that temple. They remembered the edifice. They remembered all those things. So they cried because that was a day gone by. But the other folks who were not fully aware of that, who hadn't been there, they were just glad that they had something. Yes, that's how it is when we have our generational thing. We need to understand that even though there's things that separate from generations, there's a God in heaven, no matter how big your church is, how small it is, amen, how young you are, how old you are, there's only one God who brings us together. Amen. You might cry about one thing, I might cry about another thing, but the good thing about it, we can all cry to the same God.
Yes, sir.
And so they had this time where Nehemiah had come in and then they built the wall of the temple. And so as we saw last week, they called them together. And this is, again, the first day of the month. And so something else here, because usually these times were held for feast days, and these feast days were festive. I mean, amen. Except for what I just mentioned, they had these days. These were festive days. They were coming. It was anticipated. I believe this is what one of the songs. I was glad when they said unto me, not only to go to the house of the Lord, but that spirit was carried also when they had these feasts. Are y'all with me here? See, because listen, saints, there's something to this. Some might say, well, that's just ritual. No. What it is that God has put in place for his people because he knows how we are. See, if he leave us to ourselves, we would just go about our business, go about doing our job, going to work, going to the supermarket, you know, going la-di-da-di, doing all that, and we would not have structured, anticipated time when we would get together and remember the God who brought you. And then when we had those feast days, they were reminders, the names of the feasts were reminders of the delivering power of the God who delivered them out of Egypt. That was the signification of those things. And so they rejoiced, and they just remember what the Lord had done. And so here they come again, but this was different because
Saints, this is the time the folks have been building, they had been laboring, they got this thing together, had all this stuff going on the outside, and people were still hating on them. But then they did something else too. They didn't just have the feast day, but they said, listen, we need a reminder about something very essential, and that is the Word of God. We said it before, we said it again. We got all this building here, and I don't even know how we got all this building. We got all these different things, churches. And see, it tells something about what your understanding about God and his priority in terms of when you build, what place does God get? Right. And we said before, that's why this is central. Not so much the wood and the structure, but the fact of God's word here. Amen. When we worship God, we worship the God of the Bible. And God has given the word of God so we can know him personally, so we can look in the world, we can know that who God is just by looking at the sky. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. That's general revelation. Anybody can look up in the sky and see that somebody put it up there. And don't try that nonsense of suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. Talk about some big bang. And the big bang with them shooting at you. Amen. That's God. You understand what I'm saying? See, God, there's no such thing as some evolutionary thing and all things came together by chance. And, you know, and they attributing to something as if there's some eternal matter sitting out there. That is nonsense. God was there. Because what? Hypothetically, whatever came together, God was already there to make sure there was something to come together. Amen.